Today, my message is entitled Growing Spiritually. And as I study spiritual maturity and spiritual growth, I came across a essay from an unknown author that I want to share. And it says this, it says, maturity is the ability to control anger and settle differences without violence or destruction. Maturity is patience. It is the willingness to pass up immediate pleasure in favor of the long-term goal. Maturity is perseverance, the ability to sweat out a project or a situation in spite of heavy opposition and discouraging setbacks. Maturity is the capacity to face unpleasantness and frustration, discomfort and defeat without complaint or collapse. Maturity is humility. It's being big enough to say, I was wrong. And when right, the mature person need not experience the satisfaction of saying, I told you so. That's a pretty good essay describing what maturity is. I was pretty moved by that. I was also looking at what kids define maturity as. That's always fun to see how children see the world. And I remember as a child, I had big ambitions. I was thinking I was going to be something totally different than what I am today. Pastor was not on the list, by the way. So children were asked, what are they going to be when they grow up? And this one child was asked, list three things you want to do in the future. Three things. First thing this child wrote was get a girlfriend. The second was to kiss her. And the third one was to rule the world. I wonder if he has reached those ambitions yet. Another first grader was asked, what do you want to be when you grow up? And he said, I want to be Black Spider-Man.
Yes.
Another first grader was asked, what do you want to be when you grow up? And this one wrote, work at Taco Bell with my mama. That's right. A kindergartner. He says, now that I am 5 1/2, I know I want to be a ninja chef when I grow up. So as babes, they all have their idea of what growing up means and in their mind what it looks like. Now, Chris Davis, a former pro baseball player and the batting coach for the Boston Red Sox, gave a really great quote. He said, growing old is mandatory. It's mandatory. We all grow old. Growing up is optional. It's optional. This is also true when it comes to spiritual maturity. You see, we can get older as a Christian, but maturing as a Christian is optional. And we have to choose. The Bible tells us in Hebrews that we have to move beyond the elementary teachings about Christ and be taken forward in maturity. Taken forward to maturity. Today I want to talk about what that looks like. What is a mature Christian life? How do we get there? I know as a young Christian, I was like these elementary kids. Had a whole idea of what I wanted to be when I grew up spiritually. And the outlook then was very different. Let's take a look at John chapter 12. And do I have anybody that would like to read verses 20 through 33? This could be our main text today. John 12, verses 20 through 33. Okay.
Among them that came up to worship at the feast. The same came before to Philip, which was of Bethsaida of Galilee, and desired him, saying, Sir, we would see Jesus. Philip cometh and telleth Andrew, and again Andrew and Philip tell Jesus. And Jesus answered them, saying, The hour is come that the Son of Man should be glorified. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. He, that loveth his life shall lose it, and he that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto life eternal. If any man serve me, let him follow me. Where I am, there shall also my servant be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor. Now is my soul troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour, but for this cause came I unto this hour. Father, glorify thy name. Then came there a voice from heaven, saying, I have both glorified it and will glorify it again. The people therefore that stood by and heard it said that it thundered. Others said, an angel spake to him. And Jesus answered and said, this voice came not because of me, but for your sakes. Now is the judgment of this world. Now shall the prince of this world be cast out. And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me. This he said, signifying what death he shall die.
Thank you so much, Sandra. So this is a passage from Jesus talking about his death and resurrection. But there's also some other things that we need to get out of this that goes along with my topic today. Now, these Greeks came, they heard about signs and wonders that Jesus had performed. One of them was to raise Lazarus from the dead. And so people began to really flock towards Jesus. They began to say, there's something about this man that's different. Could he really be the Messiah? And that was the question of this time. Is he the Messiah? Who is this? And so the first thing we see is they came to seek Jesus. The very first thing. It says they came to Philip, who was from Bethsaida in Galilee, with a request. Sir, they said, we would like to see Jesus. When it comes to spiritual growth, we need to be asking ourselves that every day. Can I see Jesus? Can I have a meeting with you? It is the first step, in my opinion, to grow spiritually. If you're not seeking Jesus and asking to have a meeting with him on a regular basis, you're not going to grow at all. We need to recognize that we can do nothing apart from him. Nothing apart from him. You see, meeting Jesus is the induction to life. We don't begin to grow spiritually at all until we plugged into the source of our spiritual growth. Now, Jesus said in John 15:5, I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Apart from me. Now, what does that mean exactly? Well, if Jesus is a vine and we are the branches, the vine supports the branches. Without the vine, branches don't grow. The branch is the source of nutrients to those branches. And that's what Jesus is saying. He's saying, without me, you can't bear fruit. And I'm saying, in order to grow spiritually, you have to plug into that vine. You have to plug into me, the source of life. To mature in Christ, we must set daily time to meet with the rabbi, the teacher, God Almighty. You see, when we encounter Jesus, there's a transformation that always takes place. There is something that happens in our life every single time we encounter Jesus. Sometimes it's a good transformation, sometimes it's a scary one. Sometimes there are places in our life that we get convicted, and we can either allow Jesus to heal those areas or we can run. But the first part of maturing is to allow Jesus into your life, seek him daily, and allow him to be the vine. Meeting with Jesus daily helps us to live for him daily, to live for him. Now in verse 24, Jesus says, very truly I tell you, unless a kernel of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains only a single seed. But if it dies, it produces many seeds. That's out of the NIV, and I looked at NLT. I tend to look at multiple translations of these passages when I'm doing my sermons. And the NLT stood out to me. It said, I tell you the truth, unless a kernel of wheat is planted in the soil and dies, it remains alone. But its death will produce many new kernels, a plentiful harvest of new lives. That helps, I think, paint a better picture of what he's talking about with this kernel of wheat. Unless all of you are farmers here, It may be new to you on how plants grow. I don't know. But you see, the whole body or substance of the grain, except the germ, dies in the earth or is decomposed. It's decomposed. Bless you, Sandra. This decomposed substance continues. It's the first nourishment of this tender germ that allows it to begin to grow. And this nutrient nourishes the germ until it becomes vigorous enough to be supported by the ground in which it's growing in. Okay? Now, the analogy here is that life is derived from death. Life is derived from death. The seed dies and it brings life. Jesus was talking about his crucifixion in this example that he gave in this analogy, but I also think there is an additional meaning that we need to consider here. So we are to be imitators of Christ. The Bible tells us that. Be imitators of Christ. Be Christ-like. God said, be holy because I am holy. When we received him, we are to die to self. Die to self. Once we die to self, we can become a transformed life, just like this wheat was planted from a seed that died and the germ came out and was nourished and grew into this big plant. If the seed didn't die and the germ fall into the ground and be nourished, there would be no life. It would just be a seed that's in the ground. John 3:3 says, very truly I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God unless they are born again. Well, the seed is like being born again. It's very true in our spiritual life that if we want to mature, it starts with seeking Jesus and allowing him to help us die to self and be raised up with him. It's Jesus that gives us that ability, but we have to learn to die to self if we want to mature in Christ. In Romans 6, verses 6 through 8, it says, for we know that our old self was crucified with him so that the body ruled by sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin. Because anyone who has died has been set free from sin. Now, if we died with Christ, we believe that we also live with him. A lot of times that verse is used in baptism. When we're baptized, we're dunked in the water, it represents dying to self and being raised with Christ when we come out of the water. You're a new creation when you receive him. But it's like the ball player said, age is going to take place, maturity is optional. Jesus never forces us to mature. We have to want to mature. We have to seek him and want to be transformed. Christ dwells in us. It's very clear when the Bible said that you receive Christ, you receive the Holy Spirit, a gift. Jesus said, I'm going to send you a counselor. If you do not know what to say, the Holy Spirit will give you the words to say. If you do not know what to pray, the Holy Spirit will give you words to pray. He said the Holy Spirit will empower you. So when we receive Christ and we truly trust him, the Holy Spirit comes into us. And we have to keep the Holy Spirit active in our life if we want to mature this way. Back to that verse in John 15:5, I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from that, you can do nothing. Well, see, the dead seed breeds abundant life. When we die to self, Christ begins a work. He begins to be that nutrient to feed you, to grow you. And what happens is now the life you died to is gone, and you now have an abundant life, a life that's changed. A lot of you here know that. You know that once you've received Christ, your life has been transformed. There's been something changed in your life. And oftentimes we go through this period of time where we feel stagnant in our walk. We're not growing. We're not doing the things that we know God has called us to do. And if that's the case, I recommend you go back to the first step that I talked about, request a meeting with Jesus. Continue to ask Him to do that work in your life. Ask Him to show you where you need to die to self. You may have died to part of self, but not all of self. And the true mark of Christian spirituality is the ability to die to self and live for Christ. This begins the spiritual maturity. In verse 25 of the passage we were just in, Jesus said, anyone who loves their life will lose it, while anyone who hates their life in this world will keep it for eternal life. What does he mean by that? Do I have to hate myself? Absolutely not. But if you learn to hate the sinful life that we are born into and put your trust in God with your life, then God can begin a work in you. There is such a deep spiritual context here to what Jesus is saying. In Philippians 2, verse 3 through 4, the writer says, do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves, not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interest of others. That's spiritual maturity. When you begin to trust God with your life, when you recognize that He created you in the first place, and when we learn to line up our life with His will, we begin to think more about our concerns, or less about our own concerns, and more about the concerns of others. That's when we truly die to self. See, if that seed didn't die, it would never have grown into that plant. When we allow Christ into our lives and we truly die to self, then God can grow this plant. He can grow you into something much, much greater than we could ever do on our own. And I believe this is another key point to spiritual maturity is learning to hate our life outside of Christ and learn to love God and love what He's doing in our life. You know, one of the things that God spoke to me on this topic this week, it was just the other day. So I've been struggling with some back issues. I've found out that I've got a disc problem in my back. And on top of that, I fell like a clumsy old fool yesterday and bashed up my knee pretty good. And I've got some other things that are all going on at the same time. And so I can't sit a certain way, I can't lay a certain way, every little thing just hurts. And I started to feel sorry for myself. I started to go, oh Lord, this stinks. And God reminded me. He reminded me that there are people in so much worse condition than I'm in. I'm sitting here standing here today. I'm not in so much pain that I can't do anything. I'm mobile. I can do just about everything He's called me to do, just maybe a little slower. And it was a maturity thing that He was showing me. That when I dwell on my problems, I'm not allowing God to take care of those problems while I dwell on the things that He's given me. We can't continue to just focus on our issues. We need to ask God, God, this is my issue. I'm putting it in your hand, and learn how God can use that in your life to possibly reach somebody else. Maybe there's somebody today we'll encounter that's having a back problem. Maybe it'll be a way for me to open up a conversation and share Christ with that person. Maybe somebody's clumsy like I was yesterday, and I can relate to you. But it's a maturity thing. We need to quit focusing inward and focus towards the Creator. Focus on God if we want to mature. When we live our lives for self-interest, we're not following Christ. We're not. That's one of the things that I got so much out of the trip to Africa. Was these people had very little. Very little. And in their mind, they had everything. Kids didn't have toys. One of the greatest joys I saw was when a child got a toy that the well sent over there, and to see his face light up with this little ball. Probably the only toy he's had. And to see how these people will walk miles to go to church. Many of them are old and barefoot on unpaved roads. They walk. They don't have anything in their life that's worth living for. They're looking for God. They know who the Creator is. They know the abundant life that He's given them, and they're joyful people. They're full of happiness. They're full of just on fire for God. God, send me wherever. I want to be used by You. And we come here and we get so comfortable in our daily lives that we get stagnant. We don't mature. We don't grow. We're comfortable. We don't need anything else. I'm good. I got my lazy boy. I'm good. And that doesn't grow us, guys. This is a famous verse that you all have heard many times in Matthew 16:24. It says, "Then Jesus said to the disciples, 'Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me.'" Deny themselves is the first part of that. It's dying to self. Dying to self. Now, I know we have responsibilities. I know there are things that we can't escape. And I'm not saying ditch all your responsibilities. I'm saying die to yourself. Allow God to use you in every situation that you're in. Put the interest of others above yours. You know, I'll never forget times where I was going to do something fun, going to enjoy something, and something came up that was an unforeseen circumstance. And I could have taken the time to help out and helped a person with a serious problem, but I was too concerned about my concert or whatever it was I was going to take that time. That's pretty sorry. That's pretty pitiful. There are times where we have to learn to sacrifice for the long term. That little story I read about maturity talked an awful lot about that. So the mature people make decisions based on the long-term effects of things, not the short-term. This is a model that Jesus set, by the way. He was not living for Himself. He was living for you. He was living for me. He was living to show us who God truly was. He was a servant. John 6:38 says, "For I have come down from heaven not to do the will, to do my will, but the will of Him who sent me." Do you look at your life that way each day? I'm not here to do my will, but the will of Him who sent me. Imagine how transformed your life might be if that was your slogan. Imagine. You see, when we learn to put off our old self and do the will of Christ, we begin to grow spiritually. When you're called, you show up. When God has something in store for you, you go. I read another very short essay by a pastor. His name was Pastor Ouellette. And this is what he wrote. He said, "A young man was eager to grow in his Christian life. He got a piece of paper and made a list of all the things he would do for God. He wrote down the things he would give up, the places he would go to minister, and the areas of ministry that he would enter. He was excited, excited. He took that list to the church and put it on the altar. He thought he would feel joy. Instead, he felt empty. So he went home and started adding to his list. He wrote down more things he would do and wouldn't do. He took the longer list and he put it on the altar, but he still felt nothing. He went to a wise old pastor and he told him the situation and asked for help. And this is what the pastor said to him. He said, 'Take a blank piece of paper, sign your name at the bottom, put that on the altar.' The young man did this, and peace came to his heart." He was allowing God to define that list. He was allowing God to tell him what ministries He's calling him to. When we die to self, What we're doing is we're offering ourselves as servants to God. We're allowing Him to be the guide of our life. The guide of your life. In verse 26 of John 12, it says, "Whoever serves me must follow me, and where I am, my servant also will be. And my Father will honor the one who serves me." We don't often think of serving as an honorary position, something that we would get some type of self-esteem or satisfaction out of. In fact, this world tells you a whole different opposite idea of how we feel good about ourselves. But Jesus is saying, "My Father will honor the one who serves me." You are honoring God by your service. Jesus said that even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give His life as a ransom for many. God Almighty came down from the heavens, incarnated into human flesh, not to be honored, not to be glorified in the way we would expect a King of Kings to be glorified. He came to serve. He came to give His life. You see, a spiritually mature Christian will be one of a person in service. They're willing to put things aside to go serve where God has called them to serve. This is where Jesus would be, by the way. Like today, you're going to see Jesus at Budget Suites. You're going to see Jesus helping the homeless. You're going to see Jesus feeding those that are hungry, giving water to the thirsty. That's where Jesus is. If we want to go and grow spiritually, we need to be where Jesus is. We need to go where He's most active. He is after the lost. He's after the hungry. He's after the needy. He's after those that are spiritually depleted. Those that are hopeless. That's where you're going to find Christ. He was very clear in this verse. In 26, He said, "Whoever serves me must follow me, and where I am, my servant also will be." So are you going where Jesus is? Are you following Him into these places that He is? Bless you. Romans 12:11 says, "We are not to be lacking in zeal, but we are to keep our spiritual fervor serving the Lord." We are to be zealous about serving God. I look at some of the people I know that get extremely excited when there's an opportunity, bless you. Oh. Carl, right? Bless you. To go into places where He's been called and to see Him get so excited and pumped up about it. It is beautiful. It's the zeal that we're called to have for the lost. Jesus said, "Come follow me. Follow me." When you have that meeting with Jesus and you're sincere, there's nothing you can do but to follow Him, in my opinion. I've shared my story so many times with you guys about that trip to Malawi. It was a scary thing to do for me. I was totally out of my element, totally out of my culture. I stood out like a sore thumb. I was going into territory where there were a lot of Muslims, had no idea what to expect. And the whole time, I kept thinking to myself, you know what, I may not come back from this trip. There's a good chance. There's a chance something could happen to any of us in this place.
We all knew better.
I knew better too, Sandra. But in doing it, I knew that God was with me. And I knew I was doing what God called me to do. I mean, Cindy will tell you, I could not deny this is what God was calling me to. This is not the thing I would raise my hand, "I want to go." I'd be saying, no, I got a church to manage. I'll be praying for you guys. God was so clear with me, I need to go on this trip. And because I was faithful and went on this trip and I saw God move in such a powerful way, number one, I established some incredible friendships there that I maintain today. Number two, I got to personally witness to hundreds of people that came to Christ. That was such an encouraging thing for me. We saw people healed of every disease that would, children that were on the deathbed that just needed an antibiotic for crying out loud. When we go where God calls us, you're going to see Him move. You're going to expect Him to move. I was asked, what are my expectations on this trip? And I said, I have absolutely zero expectation. I told Pastor Will that several times. I said, I have zero expectation. My expectation is that God's going to show up and I'm going to be there. And He did. So many powerful ways. There were people that were under spells. There's a lot of witchcraft that goes on there. They're waking up with terrors at night. These horrible things, we pray over and they're set free. They're delivered. It was an incredible, incredible thing to see God moving that way. It's been my prayer to see a move like that here in Louisville. If we're hungry enough, we have Christians that are willing to step up and say, here I am, I want to serve you. I believe we'll see that. And as I continue to get included and brought into these groups that are organizing and preparing to just come upon this city with the mighty power of God and really have a passion to transform lives, I believe there's going to be a revival here. I believe we're going to see some change in our backyard that we've been praying for a long time. It takes mature Christians to do that, to make sacrifices. 1 Peter 2:21, it says, to this you were called, because Christ suffered for you, leaving you an example that you should follow in His steps. You should follow. Christ didn't just come and say, all right, do as I say, don't do as I do. You guys just do what I tell you. No, He lived exactly what He preached. There was no hypocrisy found in Him whatsoever. He said very clearly, I can call to my Father and have a legion of angels sent down to rescue me. But that's not the Father's will. He willingly went into battle in these trenches to serve and to do God's will. Being honored by the Father. You see, when we seek the role of a servant, God lifts us up. God lifts us up. We've all read so many times about what God does to the proud, right? Humbles the proud, humbles the proud. Well, that is so true. I've learned that the hard way a few times. Luke 22:27 says, for who is greater, the one who is at the table or the one who serves? Who is greater? Jesus said, but I am among you as one who serves. Then Matthew 23:12 says, for those who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted. A humble heart is a mature heart. A humble heart is a heart that can be transformed by God. If there's pride, if there's anything that says, no, I'm too proud to do this, you are stepping out of God's plan. You are stepping out of His will, and you are in dangerous territory. What got Satan thrown out of heaven to earth? Pride. It was a downfall. We need to learn to be humble servants. We need to know that God is going to honor us in that. He will honor us. The next thing that we learn is that living as a servant of Christ gives us victory over the world and of Satan. If you look now at John 12, verse 31, it says, Now is the time for judgment on this world. Now the prince of this world will be driven out. The prince of this world, he's referring to Satan. Jesus overcame Satan in that moment on the cross. But too many times we play victim, we suffer because we allow Satan to take advantage of us. We allow the world to lead us astray. In 1 John chapter 5, verse 4, he says, "For everyone born of God overcomes the world. This is the victory that has overcome the world, even our faith." You see, we have victory in Christ, and a mature Christian recognizes that. You are not a victim anymore. You are a victor. When we begin to let that word sink in, that there is victory because of what Christ did. You see, a mature Christian will recognize the dangers in this world and the prince of this world. We recognize those things. In an article that I read on 25 signs of maturity, one of the signs was passing up instant gratification in favor for long-term benefits. That keeps popping up on the list. And it's so important, guys, if you want to grow spiritually mature, it's learning to discern what is not of God. God is not going to send you off to do something that His Word does not say. He's not going to tell us to go do whatever because I'm calling you to do it if it's against His Word, if it's against His character, if it's against His nature. God doesn't contradict Himself. You see, spiritual maturity teaches that the Holy Spirit is to govern our lives. And a mature leader will utilize authority that he's been given over opposition. See, Jesus gave you authority. He passed on that authority to you over the opposition, over Satan, over the world. There are so many verses in the Bible that you can read that tell you that. Greater is He who is in you than he who is in the world. I've given you all authority over the sick, over the demonic. Luke 10:19, he says, I've given you authority to trample on snakes and scorpions to overcome all the power of the enemy. Nothing will harm you. You see, a mature Christian doesn't allow the enemy to get control. Doesn't allow Satan to rule, doesn't allow the world to rule in your life. He'll try. He will definitely try. But you don't have to allow that. A mature Christian says, no, I take authority over you in Jesus' name. You have no power in my life. Do you guys take authority over those things? Do you allow Satan to have havoc in your life? Jesus, I give you the authority. You have it. I passed it down. A mature Christian does not back down from Satan. He confronts him. I have the Word of God, which is greater than you, my friend. And the Word of God has all authority over you, and I speak over you God's Word, and you have no power in my life. See, we're in tune with the Holy Spirit. When we die to self, He can't do anything to us. We've died to self. Who are you trying to hurt? Jesus? You can't hurt Jesus. Jesus has authority over you. He already defeated you on the cross at Calvary. No power whatsoever. I've got more power in my pinky than you do because of the Word of God and the authority He's given me. We should not be afraid. The final thing I want to mention here is that if you want to test how mature you are in your Christian faith, and I'm going to tell you right now that your pastor has a lifelong amount of things to do to mature in Christ. I'm not mature until He returns what the Bible tells me, but it also says I am to pursue maturity. I'm to pursue Christ-likeness. That doesn't mean I will be Christ-like, but I am to pursue everything that I know He is in my life. And there's a measurement for those that are analysts in the room that you can use to say, where do I need to grow spiritually? If you guys would turn to Galatians chapter 5 in the New Testament, the book of Galatians chapter 5. And I often wonder, the Bible often uses fruit in analogies. There's a lot of fruit talk in the Bible, so I guess in the desert a lot of fruit grows. Imagine if we were in today's century, what type of analogy do you think we'd use instead of fruit? Any ideas? If Jesus was here today and the Bible was to be written today.
Megabytes?
There you go. It'd be kind of interesting, wouldn't it, what kind of language Jesus would use today. I don't think it'd be fruit. No, it'd be processed food of some kind. Or
herbs.
Right. So in Galatians 5, verse 22 and 23, can I ask a volunteer to read those two verses, 22 and 23?
But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law.
Thank you, Jade. That's basically a summary of the first thing I read to you when I started this message. And I don't know if the person, the author that wrote that was secular or not. But the way they define maturity is very similar to what I see here, the fruit of the Spirit. If our life has fruit, if these things are abundant in our life and people can see them and recognize them, that will help us understand where are we in our Christian walk. Is there the love of God in my life? Am I dying to self? Am I putting others first? Is there peace in my life? Or is there always some type of turmoil and chaos? Can I find peace amidst the storms around me? Forbearance, can I forgive the sins of others? Or am I holding on to grudges all the time? Kindness, am I giving water to somebody in need of water? Am I feeding the poor? Goodness, is there goodness in my life? Faithfulness, am I faithful to Christ? Am I faithful to those around me? Am I faithful in my walk with God? Gentleness. Am I meek? Am I humble? Self-control. Do I give in to the urges around me, or do I have control over myself? Do I allow myself to be governed by the Holy Spirit? This is a litmus test for you to really pray about and look at. It's very clear to me that if we're to grow spiritually, we're going to see those things in our life. You're going to see fruit, what God calls fruit. You're going to see things bear that are godly things in your life. So I want to summarize the points that I want you guys to take home today. First one is to seek Jesus daily. Meet with him. Next one is to die to self on a daily basis. Am I dying to self? Am I living for me or am I living for God? Allow God's will to govern your life. We are to follow Christ where he is and to serve him where he is. Not where it's comfortable for us, but where he is, where he's called us to go. We need to learn to reject what the world has and what Satan tries to do. We need to take authority over those things in our life. We need to look at Galatians 5:22-23 as a daily reminder of what I'm trying to attain, where I'm trying to go with my life. I need to ask myself, do I see the fruit that's listed there? Or do I see thistles and thorns? In the areas where you need to grow, start praying. Get accountability. If you really want to mature, a mature person will have accountability in their life. They'll welcome it. They will welcome it. All right, let me close this in prayer.